is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Now, something I wasn't grateful for, another false alarm in my apartment building when it comes to the old fire alarm going off.
Okay.
Well, not the fire, I guess the evacuation alarm, because it could be for anything.
Yeah.
It went off over the weekend and I was not happy because obviously everyone is incredibly tightly wound at the moment.
Of course.
And so the last thing you need is also to be evacuating your building. Not great, PS, self-isolation for everyone to have to evacuate all
not
at once.
Good. Yeah.
Luckily, the alarm didn't go off for long enough that I think most people probably didn't evacuate. Most people were like, oh, because it turned off.
Bit of burnt toast or something.
But it did allow me to grab the crispest recording yet of the incredibly hyped evacuation man that comes on our PA. Now, I would say this is the common PA evacuation for a lot of apartment buildings in Canberra.
I think it's the same one as mine, I'm pretty sure.
The guy is jazzed about telling you to get out of your apartment.
Evacuate now. Evacuate as directed. Evacuate as directed.
So you think he's excited?
It sounds like he's doing a cash giveaway on a rock radio station. It's like, you could win tickets to Green Day.
Okay. So, excited's the wrong tone.
I think it's the wrong tone.
What would you rather?
Well, see,
sad?
I want well,
panicked?
Look, we'll workshop a few of these, but I just think that because the evacuate now is clear, concise.
Evacuate now.
Authoritative. This part is where he loses me.
Evacuate as directed. Evacuate as directed.
I think he just gets too...
He's too excited.
We're giving away cold, hard cash.
Yeah, right, okay. So you think his voice is a little too excited?
I think he's gone too voiceover guy with it. That's what I think.
So what do you want? Panicked? Sad?
Well, I want to workshop with you now because we've done this before, but I want to nail one and offer it up to free to any strata groups out there that might want a new evacuation alarm. I want to offer up the right tone, okay?
Yep.
So if you want to spitball one right now, I'll give you the...
You give me one, get my brain ticking.
So evacuate now, so evacuate as directed, evacuate as directed.
Okay, evacuate now, evacuate as directed, evacuate as directed. Okay. I'll give you silence so you can can get this clean audio.
All right, okay. So here I go. Oh, you want me to give you one?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is what I think. Evacuate now. Evacuate as directed. Evacuate as directed.
So Seinfeld.
It was a little bit like
Seinfeld. That doesn't... I mean, the things that go on in that building, that doesn't fill me with hope.
Evacuate now. Evacuate now. Now,
what's the deal with these evacuations?
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Josh, it's not... Well, I don't even know if we're doing this anymore, but it's a hard rubbish night.
Imagine. You know, I don't know what's going on with the... I do know that we're supposed to put our bins out on the exact nights the night before now. That's a thing that we're being asked to do.
Well, I am lucky that I live in an apartment, so I just always throw them into a big skip.
I've got a garbage chute.
Which goes into...
I put it into a magical hole in the wall and it just disappears.
It goes straight to the center of the earth and burns up in hot magma.
no information that tells me that's not true. So that might be what happens.
I feel like you would feel it in the building. If it was direct to the core of the earth. But I was driving home last night from work, or yesterday was definitely
yesterday morning, promptly after the show.
At about 10 o'clock. And I saw on the side of the road a bit of hard rubbish that kind of made me a little bit sad because it was something that I was like, if I was a kid, I would have loved that.
Oh, okay.
And I feel like it's the kind of thing that you throw up once you grow up.
Was it your parents' love?
No, well, that I need to have that to throw it out. My parents' love aside, it was something that made me sad. It was it was like a racing car bed.
Yeah.
A la Milhouse's dad in that episode of The Simpsons.
Yes, right. Okay. So
it was a red racing car bed.
They're incredibly expensive because I've been bed shopping, which, by the way, is a process. If you can't find a bed you actually love, that becomes a whole...
Yep.
I'm tossing up between two beds at the moment. But one thing I did notice, like 700 for the race car bed. And I was like,
that's expensive.
That's without a mattress.
Yep. That's right. That's just to sleep in a Holden. They usually are for some reason.
Oh, this was a Ford Mustang, this one.
Oh, yeah. Wow, a bit of competition.
Maybe that's why it was more expensive. Like, it's a newer car.
Yeah, we put a bit more effort into
it. It's still a piece of wood.
It made me a little bit sad because it was something... I remember I always wanted a little racing car bed when I was a kid.
We hit a point, I think, as human beings where that's just not cool anymore.
No.
You get to a point where, I don't know what it is, 12, 13 maybe, where you probably even in yourself, you go, ugh, this isn't cool anymore.
And that's it. It also probably, like, the length of the human Because they're like boxes. They're quite small, yeah. So you can't just like hang your legs over the end.
I think this is sort of, this is a more holistic thing, and I think I do mean what I'm about to say. Why? Why does it become uncool?
Yeah.
Why can't you still have a bit of childhood one day? If you want to sleep in a race car bed, go for it.
Why can't your bed be a toy?
Make them bigger, is what I'm saying. Stop making them just for kids.
It made me sad because I'm like, I guarantee you someone's been made to throw that out.
Oh, you reckon?
Because I don't think a 12-year-old's going, oh, mum, I've grown out of this. I reckon the mum's like, time to get a new bed. You need to throw out the car.
Why? Because your feet are hanging off the dash of the car.
We're actually making you shrink because we're not letting you grow properly.
Yeah, I had stuff like that.
I actually had a specific thing. I broke my arm in grade 6,
mm-hmm.
and I got everyone at school to sign it. Everyone wrote really nice things. And when I got it cut off at the doctor's, I like taped it up and kept it for ages. And I kept it in my like wardrobe. And I was like, oh, this is really nice because everyone wrote cool things on it. But it started stinking so bad.
Yeah, right.
That mum's like, you need to throw that out.
That's disgusting.
That's foul.
I'm with your mum on that.
And I am now as an adult, I am. But I remember in the time, I was like, I don't want to throw it out.
It wasn't still attached to your arm, was it?
No, it was definitely cut off.
It was cut off.
13-10-60, I tell you what I'd love to know this morning. What were you forced to throw out?
Yeah.
What did you not want to throw out, but you had to?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even up for discussion. Your wife, your mum, your dad, your sibling was like, you need to throw this out. Mm-hmm. It's gross. It's old. It's weird. Whatever it was, get on the phone 13-10-60 and let us know what you threw out against your own will.
I was thinking this could be like, oh, when did your childhood die? But no, adults definitely get forced to throw things out by their partners all the time.
So more often than not.
Let us know. 13-10-60, what were you forced to say goodbye to? Got Maddie on the line from Fish Week. How are you this morning, mate?
I'm good. How are you guys going?
Good, thank you.
Very well, thank you, Maddie.
Is there something you were forced to throw out, Maddie?
Look, as a kid, you know, you always stock up toys and you always hold on to those precious little soft toys that you have.
Yes,
like big head and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I got forced to throw pretty much all of my soft toys out. But there is like a good thing behind this. I will never throw out my rock collection. That's one thing Mum will not let me throw out. I'm keeping
okay,
it.
Okay, so sorry. We need to go back to that for just a second.
I think you need to sort out your priorities.
Are these like Breaking Bad? Are these like minerals? Are they fancy rocks or are they just rocks you found as a kid?
Just rocks I found as a kid.
Do they have eyes on them?
You were allowed to keep the soft toys, but you're allowed to keep the heavy thing.
Do they have googly eyes on them or anything, Maddie?
No, they're just rocks.
So zero personality on these
just
rocks.
Your mum just enjoys.
Yeah.
Are they now in a rock garden? I have so many questions that I don't think we have enough time for
right now. I tell you why she's done this.
Why?
It's because if one of these rocks breaks, just chuck another one in there.
Yeah, right.
If one of the toys gets ruined, my toys.
Keeping the soft toys is too much responsibility.
Exactly right,
okay.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit
104.7. Tina Arena dominates the charts anytime she releases some stuff here in, particularly the 90s in Australia.
Yeah.
Stuff like this was big stuff. This was big stuff. And she's absolutely an Australian icon. But here's some new stuff that Tina has brought to the table. And I'll just let Tina introduce herself with her latest project.
Hi, guys. Quarantina Arena here.
That's right. Quarantina Arena.
Jesus Christ.
And that is fantastic. What she's doing is she's doing like Instagram Lives and talking to people and just, you know, sort of offering some words and talking people through being trapped in their home and sort of just basically dissecting this thing. But the most important thing is she's called herself and is now allowing the rest of us to call her Quarantina Arena.
Quarantina Arena.
Now, you know that on this show, we've had a love-hate relationship with celebrities getting involved in this.
Yep.
The hate would be more directed at celebrities with 45-room mansions saying, guys, it isn't that hard. Just stay inside. To those of us who have one-bedroom apartments.
Exactly right.
But I'm all for this. This is using celebrity in a positive way. Quarantina Arena. Now,
it's not bad.
Little known fact about my best buddy sitting across from me here, Ned, he's quite good at coming up with pun names for celebrities.
Yes.
During that song, without really telling you why, I asked you to come up with some other celebrity names that could be quarantine or self-isolation puns. How'd you go?
I've gotten four. Now, are they good?
And by the way, guys, that was during Superbase, which only goes for 3 minutes and 14 seconds. So Ned has got four in that time.
And I also found out halfway through. Now, fantastic. I don't know if they're all good, but they all are puns on either quarantining yourself or self-isolation.
So, Tina Arena's led the charge here with Quarantina Arena. You've got some suggestions for some other celebrities who might be able to take up the mantle that Tina's laid down here.
What about Quentin Quarantino.
Fantastic. Absolutely tremendous, mate.
That one has been doing the rounds on the internet. I can't take credit for
that. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, then the applause stops. One, yeah. No, that's fine.
What
still
about
valid
Quarantine Latifah?
I also enjoy that.
Or it could be the other way around. It could be Queen Quarantifah.
Yeah, okay.
That one's probably better.
Probably, yeah. No, I don't know if either of them were that great, but they're good. You know, this is good.
What
good
about
okay
Sabrina, the Quarantinager witch?
That's weaker. Yeah, that's
Quarantinager. That's not bad.
What I about like where your head's at.
Sam Worth Isolation.
No, that didn't. I like really Worthington.
Work. Yeah, like Worthington.
I mean, it is one. I just don't.
It's not good.
Don't feel good about
I
it.
I shouldn't have ended on that one.
I probably would have ended on Quarantine Leifer.
Yeah.
Queen Latifah. Anyway.
Queen.
No, you know what?
Quarantine Leifer.
The actual best one still is.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Quarantiner Arena here.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, there was an earthquake recently in America, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
That registered low, but enough for people to feel it.
Yeah, okay.
Now, we have seismographs? Is that it? That's the one that...
Yeah, I think that is it. I just don't know why you're saying it like a confused cartoon character.
Well, because I don't know. Is it seismograph? Is that what it's called? Where it, like, tells you what it was. It, like, registers on the Richter scale.
I think
of, like,
so.
5.7.
I don't know. I'm not a geologist. I don't know.
From what I understand, and my understanding is very limited about what we know about earthquakes, but I don't think we can tell when it's going to happen until after it happens. Otherwise, we would evacuate cities that earthquakes happen in.
Yeah, and you know, there's moments where they can say this fault line's particularly volatile,
exactly, yeah,
or that we are overdue for the San Andreas exactly fault in the States has been overdue for a long time for a big earthquake.
Exactly right.
But so, we can't say this is happening tomorrow.
Exactly right. There's no way for us to detect it. For us, it's not like the weather. We can't go like, it'll probably rain in 2 days' time.
Here in Canberra, we really can't even predict that. Boom!
There we go.
Bureau of Meteorology
that's
slam.
Why he's the best, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, God. That's why he's getting sued by the government, ladies and gentlemen.
By the meteorology department. No, Josh, there's got to be a way. It's crazy it's 2020. We know all these things. We know, like, to some
yeah,
degree.
I reckon they're working on it, mate. I don't think, if there was a way, yeah, I reckon we'd have cracked it by now.
And I know, and I'm not saying, this isn't me holding scientists' feet to the flames. I'm just saying it's crazy in 2020 that we know vaguely what, like, weather will be in a month's time, but we don't know when an earthquake will happen. There's been surveillance footage inside of a dog on a couch, fully asleep, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, head jolts up like it's heard something.
Yeah.
Starts looking around, very confused. Like, it has heard something, but it doesn't quite know what's going on.
Oh, it's predicting it.
Looks around. Man. Then a minute later,
the earthquake.
This 5.7 yeah earthquake happens.
Okay, so I get what you're saying. You're saying, because they do say this. They say birds, dogs, there yeah are animals that can actually sense when this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Are you saying we hook them up?
Hook a dog 11, brain up to a computer.
11 from Stranger Things style with, like, yeah, little electrodes on a dog brain.
Yeah, they trained her pretty good.
And work out how that works.
Yeah.
And then use that technology. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
And I think this is a perfectly valid question.
As long as it's not science related.
It's not science related.
Okay, good.
It's based off the science you're suggesting.
Okay,
which
I
is
can
we,
handle
which
that.
Which is
yeah
we work out that...
My brain science.
Let's pick a city. Los Angeles.
Yeah.
What do you reckon a minute head start on an earthquake is going to do for the city of that size?
Look, that's true.
Because the dog can predict it for like 60 yeah seconds out.
Well, we need some kind of megaphone dog brain thing.
What do you reckon that the scientists are yeah going to go, oh, there's the dog whistle thing that we've installed that took us millions and millions of dollars of research to yeah get. All right, well, get on the PA system. Guys.
Earthquake in 30 seconds.
Because I stuffed around a bit getting yeah to the microphone, you've got 26 seconds, all right? Big earthquake on the way.
Look, not a
let's
lot of good
let's not base
from it
our science on a golden retriever, all right?
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Apparently, by the year 2030, if we make it there, there will start to be super robots available for £25,000 each that will start appearing in homes and will be doing... It's essentially like a Roomba on steroids. Like, it'll do everything. It'll clean uh-huh everything. You know in iRobot where, like, Will Smith at the beginning has that real dodgy robot and he's like, hello, sir.
Yeah, yeah. And he's horribly mean to
yeah
it.
And he, like,
yeah
he's really mean to it.
Yeah, yeah. I would like to actually, I'd rather use the concept of Bicentennial Man.
Okay.
Where,
yeah.
Actually, that's a bad one too, because a grown man falls in love with a little girl who then he follows for the rest of her life and then ends up falling in love with her great-granddaughter and marries her and turns into a real man. It's a bizarre. Weird. That is a bizarre movie, but he's a happier robot, is the point I'm trying to make. He's less scary than iRobot.
Well, this is what I want to talk about, because so far, so good. $25,000, or pounds, which, whatever, by 2030.
So it's 40 million Australian $40 million.
Dollars. Yeah. We'll start appearing in homes, and they'll do everything. And they'll have, like, the drones that will pick up
stuff. We can't be mean to them.
We can't be mean to them, and here is why. Because apparently the machines will be 15 times stronger than humans.
Have we not learned?
Why are we
doing
that?
Not learned anything?
Why not make them 15 times weaker than human beings?
Have we not learned anything? As long as we want them to help around the house, as long as they can basically do the same amount of lifting as, say, me, that's enough. I don't need him to be able to... I need a robot to be able to lift the foundations of the house I live in.
Like, exactly right. What is it doing that... Like, unless it's like picking up my car so I can work on it, which I don't know how to do.
Yeah.
Why would
He'd
I
have
need
to do that as well.
Yeah, why would I need for it to be 15 times
for
stronger
God's
than me?
God's sake. That is ridiculous. I mean, speaking of ridiculous, and I'm happy to take anyone to task on this, I stopped watching the second episode of the third season of Westworld midway through yesterday because that show is ridiculous.
It's odd.
It thinks it's so much smarter than it is.
Yep.
And when they can't think of how to outright themselves out of a hole, that person you thought was a human,
just a robot.
Sorry. Isn't that wacky?
Yeah,
it's
we
like,
gotcha.
No, it's not wacky. You do it every single time you can't think of what to do.
We got you
anyway,
for the 15th time.
I'm done. I'm not watching Westworld. But the point I'm trying to make is those robots are designed in that show to be treated horribly, like beyond horribly, and then they're 50 times stronger than human beings.
It's very weird.
Why not make them weaker than people?
So
if they ever do rebel, you just push them over.
Exactly right. I essentially want, here's what I want. I want a drone in my house in 2030 to look like the mops from Fantasia. And that's it. And I want it to look like a mop. And then I'll push it over, and then I'll stop Terminator from happening.
I think what has really, really become obvious in the last 3.5 minutes is you and I just desperately want to be mean to robots. Let's not have them, guys.
Cow-tipping robots.
Either make them, like, super cute so I can't be mean to them, or don't make them strong, one or the other.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Yesterday, I took a look at some Question Time footage on the news. And they were doing a bit of social distancing in Parliament House.
That's good.
So they were doing the thing where they, you know, the horseshoe seats in the House of Representatives.
Yeah.
And they've all just sort of sat a little bit further away from each other.
Okay, right. Yeah, yeah.
I thought there was a seat for everyone.
Like all the
So this is where the ignorance or I am exposing people for not doing their jobs comes into it. Because I thought there was a seat for everyone, which means how are they social distancing? Because it looked to me like half the seats were empty. So
how many people? It was like about half full.
It looked like literally every second seat was empty. So
are you basing this on like...
I'm basing it on what it looked like.
No. But are you basing on like there's a seat for everyone as in like you win a seat? Like, I've got the seat for... I don't know.
Yeah.
It was a town. Kenneth
The member for Baxter or whatever.
That's it, yeah.
From the member for Griffith.
Yeah, I hold the seat for Toowoomba. Is that why you think there's enough seats for everyone?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think there's meant to be a seat for everyone, isn't there? So
are they
why
all marked?
I don't know.
That'd be cool.
This is clearly I don't know. So I'm trying to say either half the people didn't rock up for work yesterday, and that's why they were able to social distance, or we have too many seats in Parliament, in which case... Sell some of that furniture. It's like dire times.
And it's very nice.
You get a pre-penny for that furniture. Lovely leather-bound seats. Yeah. Get rid of some of them. Yeah. We don't need all of them, clearly.
They could be quarantining. Can you govern from home?
Yeah. I think we're finding out that lots of things can be done from home at the moment. I don't know if... I would demand to see laptops in the seats where the people should be. Just so we can see their faces, just so we know they're not also watching, you know, they're binge watching something while they're also supposed to be in Parliament.
Yeah.
I want to see them paying attention.
Yeah.
I want to see them there, focused, eyes at the front.
I saw a thing today that said, like, things you shouldn't do if you're conferencing from home, if you're at work. Apparently, sit drinking coffee is one of them because you look too relaxed.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm in my house.
Yeah, I mean, screw you.
Yeah. I'm not wearing pants.
The fact that I have my PlayStation and my TV and I'm still on a work conference call, the self-control involved in that, I'm already employee of the goddamn month.
That was the Ned and Josh podcast.
For personal injury compensation, there's one team that gives you more. Visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.